Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by the Isley Brothers, the Carpenters, the Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. Please consider supporting Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. You can learn more about them at bwunited.ca. They are always looking for donations and volunteers. So please, again, support Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. Again, that website is bwunited.ca.
Hi, this is Mark Lee Morrison from the podcast Low Profile. I live in Olympia, Washington with my wife and two daughters, and I support Vish Khanna's Creative Control on Patreon because I appreciate his journalistic integrity. Vish talks with a lot of artists I care about, and he never asks any boring questions. I love hearing his interviews, and as a Patreon supporter, I get to hear even more of them. If you enjoy Creative Control too, I implore you to join me as a sustaining contributor.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today.
Jesse Lanza is a very talented musician and songwriter currently based in the state of California. Originally from Hamilton, Ontario, Lanza is a Polaris Music Prize nominated artist whose latest album is both danceable and catchy and also very introspective and questioning of herself and the people she's surrounded by. The record is called All the Time and it was released on July 24th, 2020 by the Hyperdub imprint. And it prompted Jesse to return to this show so we could have a nice chat about California living with your in-laws during the COVID-19 pandemic. Her dear collaborators, Jeremy Greenspan of Junior Boys and Winston Holmes Case, psychology and other people on All the Time, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network with the support of listeners like you, who follow and subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly donations
at patreon.com/creativecontrol, and Massey Hall's concert film series live at MasseyHall.com, where you can stream dozens of 30-minute films for free, including performances by past podcast guests like Tara Lightfoot. Plus, in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton. This is the 554th episode of Creative Control, featuring the wonderful Jesse Lanza with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hi, Jesse. How's it going?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. Now, I think of you as a Hamilton person, but I ask this question as I ask of all my guests when I'm talking to them remotely. You know, I always ask, where in the world are you? I feel like I'm going to get a bit of a surprise here. And I just spoiled the surprise. It's like I spoiled my own surprise party just now with this preamble. Jesse, where in the world are you right now?
I'm in Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. Wow.
Yeah. Are you surprised?
I had heard, where exactly? Silicon Valley has become a thing where we think of where all like the Google and the Facebook and the technology, Apple maybe. I don't know if Apple's even there.
Yeah.
Is that where you are? Where is it exactly? I had heard you were in San Francisco.
Yeah. I mean, basically, I'm like half an hour away from San Francisco, but technically I'm like close to Palo Alto, which is like... You know, the Hewlett-Packard factory is like up the street.
Absolutely.
and all the other places you mentioned as well. Yeah.
Fine company, Hewlett-Packard. Make fine printers and computers. We should give them a little shout out. Well, now forget Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton. Let's go for Hewlett-Packard. Now, what brings you to Silicon Valley today as we're speaking?
Well, my partner's family lives here, and so this was the place we thought, like, we're going to stay for the long haul, I guess. They would have us here. There's a place for us to stay.
Okay.
So, yeah, just because everything was such a shuffle in March, and, yeah, we didn't renew our lease on our apartment in New York because we thought we were going to be on tour, and that obviously isn't happening, so we just had to kind of rush and figure out something really fast, and this was the best option. So
okay, there's several questions that have come to mind based on what you just said. You mentioned New York, you mentioned a partner, you mentioned in-laws. There's so much going on. Yeah. Jesse,
I know. Yes.
I thought you were Hamilton Jesse Lanza. First of all, who is your partner, and how are they related to your work as an artist?
Winston Case is my partner, and he does all my music videos. And he's also been doing all these live streams that I've been doing recently. Like, I've been doing a lot of DJ sets where he films them and does like some lights and projections. And that's been those have been my shows, basically.
I've already asked you some very personal questions. Do you get paid to do those things? Or do the companies just say, oh, we'll give you the platform and that'll be how you get paid? Do you know what I mean?
No, there's no money, but the Boiler Room was a fundraiser for the NAACP.
Great.
Yeah, but
awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have been talking to lots of, as you know, I talk to lots of musicians. This is a strange time to contemplate your livelihoods. I'm not involved. I make a podcast ostensibly for free, and then I do other work. I work a day job. But no, yes, I'm just trying to get to the heart of it. Because I've had some very in-depth analytical conversations with musicians about the state of affairs and the fact that, you know, we're going to talk about your beautiful new record all the time today. And one of my guests recently, Simone Schmidt, was talking about, it's so weird. We as musicians spend months, years, you know, tens of thousands of dollars sometimes to make albums. And now these companies... streaming companies or social media companies are trying to get us to pivot to make these kind of rickety live streaming videos. You know, they don't look that great. They don't. I mean, you've got Winston. He probably knows what he's doing with a camera by the sounds of it. But
yeah,
you've got production value in your thing. Let's start with that.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right. Like, the whole mandate for Instagram is to, like, is it for it to look bad and sound bad? Like, it's, yeah. And they frame it as though it's like, oh, it's going to be real and it's going to be like gritty, you know, but that doesn't mean anything. It's kind of these corporate like keywords that just mean like, you know, everybody has access to like whatever sort of mandate Instagram has for how they want everybody to use their platform. It doesn't really apply to, you can't make a live stream sound good that way.
Yeah.
You know? So but I am very lucky that Winston has a lot of experience. He knows what he's doing. And yeah, it's a really tough time.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, it is. And that's what I'm hearing a lot of from people. So I just wanted to get to that because I want you to be doing well. I don't want you to be giving away your stuff to the Instagram or the Facebook. You know, they're not paying it. Well, I think they are paying some people, but it's weird. Why didn't they pay them for the records? Why are they paying? It's just normalizing phone culture or something.
Yeah, it's a really roundabout weird. It's just like they're stepping around. It's like, well, you could just buy the record. Like, why can't you just do that first thing?
Yeah, yeah. It's been, we've maybe set ourselves up for this by buying it. I don't know. I'm weirdly in a weird spot because as you know, I think, well, no, when we've talked, I think we've mostly done interviews in person, to be honest. We've rarely done these kinds of things, but I have done a lot of these kinds of things. So when the restrictions started, I felt like I was really ready to go with living a remote virtual life. What about you? Like, you are a performer, you tour to make money and you sell records, hopefully. How are you doing in the grand scheme of things? You know, you're obviously living with your in-laws. I don't know if that's good or bad, but you know, how are you doing overall with the state of affairs?
I'm really fortunate in that my in-laws are lovely and we're in a really nice place where like we have space. Like we're like living in the apartment over the garage kind of situation. So like we have our own spot. Like I have a place for my equipment with like a door that closes, and like that's like huge to you know, your own room. And so I have all of that, and we're going to be able to stay here for as long as we need to. But yeah, it is this, I'm sure that many of the people you've been talking to have been saying the same thing, that it's like this limbo right now. It's like almost this carrot dangling, like, well, the shows, like, maybe they'll come back, but
they're not coming back. Do you think they're coming back? I don't think they're coming back.
No, I don't think they're coming back I think they will come back eventually. Like, this will normalize in time, but
yeah,
not anytime soon.
Unless you're Great White. Did you see that band Great White play the show?
Yeah, but like, what are they doing? Like, it's like they don't already have one horrible disaster like plaguing their name that they're just like, let's just jump on.
Yeah, there's
a pandemic to add to like our, you know, a super spreader event. It's I did see that.
It's very bizarre, and there's this whole like freedom and liberty and blah blah blah, and it's very, very confusing. And I take no joy in it when I say it's not coming back. I know I had a little lilt in my voice, a comedic lilt. It's sad, but I'm frankly just, I don't know about you, I'm more concerned about health, safety, sanity than, you know, going to see a show. I'm a show going person in normal times. Once or twice a week I go see a show. Haven't gone, I'm okay. I feel all right. But you, this is different. You miss playing. You must miss playing live shows.
Yeah, I miss it a lot, and I definitely took for granted the connection, like just that feeling of being there and being able to see people in person and talk to people. And I've just never been like, interacting over social media has never been comfortable for me. I don't really do it. Mm-hmm. I don't talk about like how I feel on a day-to-day basis on the internet. I'm just very uncomfortable with that. And so, yeah, talking with fans at shows was like, that was the way to connect, really. And yeah. Now that's not there. So I'm definitely missing it.
Now you're in a situation, and by the way, I invoke the phrase in-laws, which suggests you're married. And did you?
Not married, but I might as well be.
You might as well be. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm always perilously close to prying, and I don't mean to be. I apologize, but I was just going to follow up on that part because you sort of talked about how you had your own space. And I don't know if you know this, Jesse, like you moved, I didn't know you lived in New York. I didn't know you were in Silicon Valley necessarily. I had a sense you were in California. I think of you as a Hamilton person. Did you know that I moved?
No. Are you not in Guelph anymore?
No, I moved to Edmonton, Alberta.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's huge. When did that happen?
Well, so we moved basically on just ahead of New Year's Eve. So we got here around January. And immediately, within a couple of weeks, there was a massive record-shattering deep freeze. Like, it was like minus 45 every day for a week. And I was like, what the hell? And everyone here laughed at me. And they said, just so you know, this isn't even normal for us. Anyway, then like a couple months later, lockdown. So we have been in this, like I said earlier, like training. Just like we have been kind of socially isolated and distanced because we didn't really want to go out when it was so cold. I went to a couple of shows. But we were for about 5 months from January to May. I don't know how many months that is. We were staying in my in-law's basement. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And I didn't listen to any hip hop music. I didn't, I wasn't allowed to eat certain foods at my desk. Like it was very, but I mean, all that to say, some nice aspects too. They engaged with our kids and that was fun. But I felt like I had regressed into some form of childhood. I felt like a 14-year-old sneaking pizza. Literally, I snuck a slice of pizza into their house. That's how bad it got.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it was close. It was close to dinner time. I'm 42 now, and I was sticking a box of small personal pizza in my jacket to sneak down to the basement to eat it like I was like a rat, you know? And I felt like awful. I'm like, what happened to me? I used to be this autonomous being. You're with your in-laws, is it? Do you have some meddling or do you feel like you sound like you have your own space? They're cool? They're chill?
They're so nice and really supportive and really enthusiastic and Stacy, like my partner's mom and his sister, they helped us film the face video because we filmed the video for my single face like right when we got here, basically, and like right when the lockdown started, and we like didn't have a crew, obviously. So it was just me, Winston, and his mom and his sister, and they were like holding flashlights and like trying to, us do the whole thing. So yeah, I assume you're out of the basement.
Oh yeah, sorry. As I'm speaking to you, yes, and we are in our new home, and it's to be frank and not to boast in this terrible time. And who knows, things might go south. We have a nicer home. We couldn't afford to live anywhere in Guelph beyond where we were living in a 2-bedroom, 1,200 square foot kind of house, which was better than a lot of people were doing. Like, don't get me wrong, but we were like two kids, two adults, small home, 18th, or rather, it was built in like 1872, which it was very charming. Had you ever come to our house? No, you never. Did you ever?
When we spoke, it was at the backstage of the Kazoo Fest.
Oh yeah, yeah, like, the church there.
Yeah.
Relatively close to our house. But anyway, yeah, we couldn't move within Guelph. I'm sure. When did you leave Hamilton, by the way?
I moved to New York from Hamilton, 2017.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And so. Yeah, so I've been living there for a while, but yeah, it's funny you should say, like, you always think of me as, like, being Hamilton, because, like, even though I moved, like, I was driving back and forth from New York to Hamilton, like, all the time to work with Jeremy Greenspan on the record, but also to, like, see my family, and, like, I just, so much of all the time is, like, I think inspired by this, like, feeling of, like, I was so homesick when I moved, and, like, I just realized how much... I don't know, just my because I'm close with my family, like Hamilton is like, I just can't, even if I, when I move, it's like, I can't get away from this like Hamilton feeling. I think like my, I don't know. It's just, I just feel it. I don't know if it's because I'm sentimental or I'm like romanticizing it or what it is, but I don't know.
No, home is, you know, there's a, it's a cliche, right? I think home is where the heart is. There's a lot of truth to that. Like, you know, you're home. I miss Guelph, to be honest, but we just couldn't. I mean, you moved from Hamilton, which had a real estate market that was getting difficult to manage, I imagine, because of
definitely.
But I mean, then you moved to where? Did you end up in Brooklyn or Manhattan? Where were you in New York?
I was living in Ridgewood, which is like right on the border of. Of Brooklyn. It's right. Queens technically, but I was very close to Bushwick.
That's not affordable. Was it that affordable in a way?
I mean, it was affordable, but I was living with two other people and it was a tiny apartment. And
yeah.
It wasn't the most comfortable living situation. Just, I mean, I don't want to, actually, it was very comfortable in that I had a door.
Just a roommate. If the roommates are listening right now, it was good. It was fine.
No. It was fine. And I had a room with my equipment in it, and that was different than the room I was sleeping in.
Oh, so good.
That was huge.
Yeah.
But it was just so different from, you know, I had it like really pretty cushy situation in Hamilton, and
you were living at home. You were living at home, right?
I was living, no, not living at home. Oh. I was living on my own, but I had my own studio that was like, you know, I could ride my bike to, and it was downtown, and it was, I had a vocal booth, and it was quiet and separate, and there was more separation, you know. It's like you were describing with your family. It's like, you know, you have your part, like your wife and your kids, and like you're in, there's only so many rooms to go to, and it can make you feel a bit crazy.
It does. Well, I'm calling you for, we're speaking now from, well, I have an office. Like, I had an office before, but it was also the laundry room, and it was right beside the kitchen, and it was hard. Like, I mean, I have a little office space. The kids have their own rooms right now. Again, I don't mean to be bragging. It's a terrible time. I'm not bragging. It's just the truth. We were looking for that in Guelph, but we were getting priced out by Toronto people moving in. And the market was just, it was comparable to Toronto on many, like we would get outbid, you know, we bid for houses like 8-9 times, and we'd get outbid by tens of thousands of dollars. One, we didn't get outbid by $100,000, but someone did. And they were told it was a Toronto.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I think that was happening in Hamilton too. And so we moved.
It was.
We moved and then everything's been weird, but I also have that homesickness and, it's strange, and I miss Hamilton. I like Hamilton. Like, I miss being so close to Hamilton, to be honest. But anyway, enough about that. I guess we're talking about relocation. Why did you leave your cushy situation in Hamilton for New York, first of all?
Well, I started seeing Winston, and he lived in New York, and so that was like a big push. But I also like had never really left Hamilton. Like, I went to school in Montreal for a few years, but other than that, I really hadn't left Hamilton, and I thought this would be a really nice opportunity. Like, I have this visa to be in the U.S. that I paid thousands of dollars to get, you know, so I could work and live there in the U.S. if I wanted to, and so I just thought it was time for a change, and I was really hungry for a change, too, so.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just thought I would try something different.
How are you feeling now? I talked to someone in Ontario not too long ago, and they suggested that in terms of COVID and the pandemic, that Hamilton was actually a big hotspot, and I didn't know that, and I don't know if that's true. It's just something someone said to me. And then you are in America, which is the epicenter for this thing around the world. Thoughts, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of like comes back to what we were talking about before. Well, firstly, I think the numbers in Hamilton I think they're pretty good. I talked to my sister yesterday, and she said that like it was okay. There were no new cases.
Oh, okay, good.
For a few days, and yeah, the things are all right. And here, like in the county that we're in, I think it's like Santa Clara or San Mateo. The numbers are they're pretty good. But yeah, it all comes back to like space and like, yeah. I'm just in this suburban bubble right now. And so, and I think so many people, there is this divide of people who like have space. They're not living on top of one another. And then there is the opposite of that. And so many people in America don't, there's this space is like this comes with this huge cost, and it's really sad and frightening.
Are you in a place where people are wearing masks and protecting themselves?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody is behaving and like is very considerate, and it's just and like, so yeah, I'm just living in this bubble where it's like, yeah, everybody's wearing a mask. They're believe in science. You can go somewhere else and enter into a very different bubble, not very far away, and it is totally different. So it's just very weird that people are living in these like alternate realities in parallel.
You must have quite a perspective as a Canadian being in America. Like, I know America is always in the news, it feels like, and it has been certainly in the last 4 years. Like, just we're mm-hmm. just constantly inundated, and that maybe says a lot more about me and what I pay attention to. But do you have a kind of, not a vicarious thrill, you're there. Do you have a kind of objective sense of, it's weird that I'm in America right now at this point in history? Like, do you have that as a Canadian, as someone who's not from there, and sort of, you're kind of an alien there on some level? Like, do you feel that?
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, I really want to go see my family, but you know, the borders closed.
Except for British Columbia somehow. I've heard yesterday that you can go to British Columbia, and we're like, what? Why? Apparently, apparently Americans are saying, no, we're just going to Alaska. We just want to cross the border to go to Alaska, and then they go to BC, which has a they did a good job of mitigating things, and I think good fortune befell them too. But what the hell? I am so frustrated because I'm in Alberta, which is third in Canada for the virus.
Right.
It's bad. And there's like a surge in Edmonton where I'm calling you from, which is bad. And so I'm sorry. Do I sound panicky? I'm not. I'm chill. I'm cool. I'm trying to be cool with it. But like, as a parent with kids, and I'm trying to, and also like, we have to rely on other people for our well-being. And I don't like other people. Do you like other people, Jesse?
I do. I do. And that is something that I really worked through on the album, on All the Time. Yeah. That was like a huge theme for me, because I was in New York and I wanted to be tough. I had this like, I can do this. Like, I'm gonna make a shift in my life. I'm gonna move to New York. Like, I'm not gonna be bothered by the fact that like I'm uncomfortable and homesick and have all this anxiety, and like I'm walking around with this constant feeling of like anger and irritation. I tried to like suppress all of that, and it really wasn't working. And so, and a lot of that would be inspired by like just this irritate, like, why am I mad all the time?
Yeah.
Why am I directing my anger at like people that I don't know, and more concerningly with like people that I live with, like my partner.
I see.
Winston, you know. And so it's like, it's such a fitting question, because I was asking myself that all the time. Like,
interesting. So when I process the lyrics and the singing, like the things you're saying on this record do seem to be a 180 of what you were just talking about, because they seem to me to be very focused on a single person. I can't tell if you're speaking universally, but it's a very I guess it is the word carnal. It is a carnal record on some level. Like, it's really about connecting with someone. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, absolutely. And also this fear that I was worried that like you know, in like a film noir, like where the twist at the end is like they were the murderer all the whole time. Like,
are you confessing to a crime right now?
No.
Just want to call the police. No, okay. Yes, I do. I know what you mean. Yeah.
I have a point. I was just like worried that I was going to like get to the end of my life and it's just like, oh, like you were the asshole the whole time. It's like, it wasn't other people. It's just like you.
Oh, interesting.
Were the dick and like you didn't realize it because you're a narcissist and you're too self-absorbed to have noticed that like it was you that was the problem.
It's true. I've been saying for some time with having since I've had kids, I have this spiel that I say to people all the time where I realize that the majority of the times I'm angry at my children, I'm kind of angry at myself, like because they're little reflections of me. So it's probably true that when you're angry at the people around you in the world, you're kind of also at least a little bit, if not half, angry at yourself for being in that situation. You're kind of always angry when you're late for something and you're driving and you're mad at the traffic. You're kind of mad at yourself because you didn't leave on time. You didn't leave on time. It's your responsibility. It's not anyone else's fault, but you don't want to blame yourself because you got issues. And so you're saying you kind of discovered this maybe about yourself, like the anger, because when I read the lyrics, I'm reading the lyrics as we're speaking. Well, I take that back. That was rude. I'm not reading something else while we're talking. No. I'm fully engaged in our conversation. But when I've read the lyrics, there, I fixed it. When I've read the lyrics, it does seem very much a devotional record, like a full bore love song type record. And I wonder if that's the 180 that you're talking about.
Yeah, I was just feeling like this. I just felt disconnected. I felt like I was really isolated. I felt like I couldn't even connect with the person, with my partner. There was this kind of wall that I was putting up between us and just kind of walking around feeling like it was so hard to connect with people and all. There was just this wall of anger, and I really, not to like get too much like this is like therapy or something, or like
invariably that's what this show becomes. It's a pseudo psychology. Well, it doesn't. I don't mean it to be. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's nice to talk about music in that way, because the record was like that for me. It just worked through a lot of those feelings, and it was really the only thing I felt like I could connect to at that time. And I worked through a lot of feelings and just feeling like desperate. Like, why is this feeling of isolation so overpowering? Why can't I connect with people? Why do I keep making the same mistakes in relationships over and over again? Like, and just asking a lot of those questions, and the songs kind of turned into these like, what's wrong with me sort of musings, you know?
So you just posed a number of questions in writing these songs and making this record. Did you come up with the answers you were looking for?
Yeah. I mean, I think the answer was like, I think for a long time I was feeling like, I'll do this and then I'll be done. Or it's like, I'll write this song and everyone will like it and then I'll feel good. Or like, I'll move to New York and I'll feel better. And I think the answer that I came to, like after I finished the record, was just like, whether you like it or not, it's like, it's never really done. Like, you're never having that attitude of like, I'm going to do this thing and then I'm going to be happy. It's just, that's not real. And if you commit to that, then you're going to be disappointed. And really, the reality is that like, it's just work. Like, relationships are work. Being happy is work. And if you kind of frame it more as curiosity, you're going to just be a lot better off. So, not to sound too much like a self-help book, but I stopped committing to this idea that like, I'm going to be done at some point, you know, which is such a dark thought. Like, it's just, that's almost like, well, I'm going to be dead or something.
We're never done. We're never done. I have these conversations with people because I want to learn about them, but I also end up learning a lot about the world and myself in it. So I do think it's funny. You invoked the phrase curiosity there, or the term curiosity there. Mm-hmm. And I just asked you to respond to your own questions. Because I thought maybe what happened was you had all these questions swimming around in your head, and then maybe the songs were a way of getting to those answers, which is maybe that's a really artsy fartsy way of talking.
But no, it's not. I definitely was looking for self-awareness, and like I think being able to write the songs and then like listen to them and kind of recognize what I was talking about did help me to find some answers.
Well, you can hear the searching throughout the songs. Like there are questions in almost every song on your album all the time. In Lick in Heaven, did you notice is asked. Like you're asking in Face, baby, is it just enough? Tell me, do you want it all? Baby, are you feeling tough? Which maybe that's a self-reflexive thing that you were discussing earlier. There's just so many questions as I think about these songs. And Alexander, would you rather be lonely? That's a huge question. So I feel like now that I'm processing what you're saying and thinking about these songs, I feel like maybe the you, which maybe I superficially thought might be someone like Winston, maybe the you is you in a lot of these cases. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it changes it changes for me asking myself, like asking people that I've had relationships with in the past, and I'm still working through, you know, why that didn't go well, why we broke up, what I did wrong, what I could have done better. Yeah, the fight that I just had with Winston, you know, like, which is a lot of this, like Lick in Heaven for sure, was just like, we had had this horrible fight, and I, you know, went into the next room that's my studio, which was next to our bedroom, and was just like, yeah, I just tried to work it out in that song. And I was just reflecting on like that moment in our fight where I could have made it better.
Yeah.
I could have like swallowed my pride, but instead I decided to just go really like nuclear with it, you know, just go full hog and like see how nuts we could, which is like, I see people making that decision all the time. You know, where it's like you could just turn around on this one, but a lot of the time we don't. And yeah, I was curious about that.
No, like the self-awareness is so evident as we are having this conversation. And I think about lyrics like "Once I'm spinning, I can't stop spinning. I'm going all the way," which is a great pop hook, by the way. But that's about the argument. That's about once I'm going, I'm going. And so that's good. I feel like you're asserting yourself as much as you're questioning yourself here.
Yeah. Yeah. Asserting myself is something I have a lot of trouble with. Like, I want to assert myself. I don't want to be passive, but I don't want to be an asshole.
You sound like a human being. Like, you sound like a cognizant, self-conscious human being who's trying to, you know, I try to tell my son when he's left a granola bar wrapper on the ground, like, who's going to deal with that granola bar wrapper? He's like, I don't know. Yes. I'm like, well, someone else. So every time you wake up in the morning, you're impacting other people, and you have to kind of think of yourself that way, whether it's good or bad. Like we all get up and go out into the world. I just drove to the grocery store I wore my mask, don't worry, but it seemed like I just went there and, you know, rolled around the aisles in my cart and came home, but I was probably in someone's way. I was probably, you know, or I'm so good looking that they're thinking about me now. I'm just kidding. That's not right. But
I mean, you never know.
Exactly. Like we all are out there in the world and we're impacting each other whether we know it or not. So I think your understanding of that, and maybe it's been great that you went from Hamilton to New York with a concentration of people, sometimes other people teach you about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And the lesson, I'm sorry, the album was really, I don't know if I like learned some lessons or what. How many kids? You two kids. And
we have
how
two.
Old are they?
They're, my son will be, is almost 9 and my daughter is 5 and a half.
Right. That's a handful. But I just was thinking, like, I think the lesson that I was trying to learn is like just trying to like reframe my, like the way that I like what you were describing, like how you impact other people, yeah. how other people impact you, and that it's not, I didn't want to walk around. I felt defensive all the time. Like, and I hated that feeling, like every time I walked out, like I was on the defense. And I noticed, like, it wasn't just with strangers. It was like with the people that I love,
yeah.
which is,
yeah.
So I think the album helped me to like reframe that dynamic, and that like, it's not, it shouldn't be about like, yeah, looking out for yourself or like who's gonna like do something to hurt. Like, you know, people aren't there for you to be afraid of them, if that makes
sense. No, it does. It totally does.
If like, that makes sense.
It does. You take the knowledge that you get from coexisting with other people, and you bring it to your own little bubble, your own little world, and it should hopefully, helpfully inform how you exist in that bubble. I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
We've talked about how deep and sort of introspective these lyrics are. You've done the magical thing where you've written something very substantive, but it's packaged in kind of a infectious pop style. I mentioned the hook on Once I'm Spinning, I Can't Stop Spinning, I'm Going All the Way, which gets in my head all the time. So tell me about the sound of this record and your approach. How do you feel? You mentioned Jeremy Greenspan and you work together. Is that the primary collaboration going on this record?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Jeremy and I work really well together. And like, I think that we both really love experimenting with equipment and like gear and like seeing how many like synth sounds we can like layer on one song. And it's a really fun way to approach songwriting for both of us.
Yeah.
So yeah. And of course he worked on the last two records with me, and like, yeah, Jeremy is like, when you say like, I think of, you were saying like, you think of me as being like a Hamilton person, like Jeremy is such a part of that for me. He is like, you know, he's just devoted himself to the arts community in Hamilton. He has this amazing studio that he like built from the ground up mm-hmm. there. And mm-hmm. like, it's just this hub of, yeah, people doing music in Hamilton. And so, yeah, working with Jeremy is just feels really right somehow.
So did you want to be like the sort of marrying the themes, the lyrical themes with the music? Did that occur to you, or is this just an organic, you came up with the music and then you applied these ideas and this phrasing and these song, your singing, your vocals to musical soundscapes that were already kind of worked out?
Yeah, they kind of would happen like in tandem. You know, Jeremy would send me like an interesting like drum pattern that he really liked, or like I might have a chord progression and like, you know, a verse and a chorus that, I mean, they really would never come together in the same way every time. It was always, yeah, we passed the songs back and forth a lot over from like 2017 to like the end of 2019. So yeah, it was different every time.
Okay. Well, it's called All the Time, which so many people, I think that's weird because we all have so much time in a weird way, and time is also weird at the moment, but we're
totally
in a weird temporal place. We have all the time, it seems, some of us anyway.
Yeah.
Where can people go to learn more about you and this record? Where would you want to send them, Jesse?
If you go to, not to plug a big company, but if you go to my YouTube channel,
yeah,
all my videos are up there. My website is a great place to go and like listen to my mixes, watch the videos, listen to the past records. So that's jessielanza.com.
Okay.
You can go there.
Okay.
And my Bandcamp is a great place to go and explore too, because it's all up there as well.
Okay. I don't mean to end this abruptly, but I know we both have appointments to get to, so I'm sure we'll catch up again someday.
Yeah, it was so nice talking to you. I love our chats, and I hope we can do it again.
Okay.
Soon. Well, I also wanted to let you know that I loved your the chat you had with David Berman. It was so, I listened to it when I was driving actually from New York to Hamilton.
Oh.
And it was right after he had passed away. And I just like, I it was just so sweet, and I loved it. I just wanted to let you know.
That's very, very kind of you to say thank you. I didn't know that, and I appreciate that.
It was just such a great conversation, and it was really touching. And yeah, I just wanted to let you know.
Oh, thanks, Jesse. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Now, that was so great.
Before we go here, I wonder if you can pick a song from All the Time That We Can Go Out On, and it could be anything you want, I think.
Yeah, if you could go out on the song Badly.
Badly? I would love that. Okay, and why did you choose that song?
It's my favorite song on the record, and it's not going to be one of the singles, but I kind of wish that it was. But for whatever reason, it's not. And I really love that song, and
Okay, that's good enough for me, and I think people will like it as well. I'm a fan. This is Badly by Jesse Lanza. Jesse, again, thank you so much for this time, and talk soon, and best of luck with everything in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much, Vish. Good luck in Edmonton.
There's no one treats so bad. Are you just a little one? No, I gotta take your love for granted. Oh, I wanna be good, baby. Do I want you badly? You badly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Special thanks to Jesse Lanza for returning to Creative Control. This was, in fact, the 554th episode of Creative Control, for those of you keeping score at home. I know I am. Creative Control is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available on all Apple and Google platforms and other things as well. If you can't find an episode that you've heard about from your friends and you're looking for it, or else if you just want to learn more about me, like, who's this Vish guy? Who is he? And that's a thing you say in real life. And or if you want to sign up for my regularly scheduled newsletter, all of this stuff you can do and experience by going to my website, vishkana.com. You can also like Creative Control on Facebook, follow the show on Twitter at vishcreative, or follow me directly at vishkana. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to keep this podcast going and to keep me going. Frankly, these donations of yours, I know they may not seem like a big deal, but they really do keep me going and they keep the show going. So if you'd like to contribute to the show, go to patreon.com/creativecontrol. And if you want to, check out the $6 or more tier, which gets you access to exclusive audio content from my own audio archives. Journey with me through my past as a aspiring music journalist and broadcaster as I interview some of my favorite people. You know, and it's fun. I've got it all saved, and I'm sharing it again, resharing it, patreon.com/creativecontrol. Thanks again to liveinmasseyhall.com, where you can watch beautifully captured concerts by great Canadian artists. Also, for their in-kind support, Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario. You won't get a donut like Granddad's Donuts in no Silicon Valley, let me tell you that. Thanks also to Jim Guthrie for letting me use some music of his on the show. You can learn more about Jim at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you very much for listening this far into this Jesse Lanza episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope that if you're new to the show, you consider subscribing to it or going through the back catalog of episodes and exploring. And if you're a loyal and faithful follower of the show, thank you so much for that. And I'm going to keep making shows as long as is humanly possible, and I'll be back soon. I will talk to you soon. I hope you're well. Bye for now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.